Hello, everyone. Welcome to How to Feel the Hard Stuff. Hi, Christy. Hi, everyone. Annette, hello. I'm glad you guys can hear me okay, I guess. We have had some interesting times here in the Hartman household. We are adapting to a lot of change, it seems. Couple weeks ago, we had a big ice storm came through Memphis. Did y'all hear about that? That was interesting. We were a family of 10 in the Hartman household for about a week when we're used to being a family of two. We had my son and his wife and five of the grandkids, along with Ken's sister who has Alzheimer's. So my nervous system was activated. That's a good way to put it, activated. It is a lot. It is a lot. And you combine that with the uncertainty of not really knowing, do I have enough food? I went through food scarcity. Do I have enough? Is my heat going to come back? Is my power going to come back on? Am I going to be able to keep myself warm? Am I going to be able to take care of Ken's sister? It was a real exercise in, watching my brain, thinking about what I'm thinking about. Y'all hear me talk about that, but thinking about what I'm thinking about. And I will say this, after everyone went home, so Ken's sister was here for about 10 days. My son and his family were here for about a week. After everyone went home, I was like, patting myself on the back. You handled everything beautifully. You did so well. And then I crashed for like 3 days. I was seriously below home base, not like total shutdown, but I was below home base. And watching myself go there and stay there for a few days was really interesting. And I tell you all this to say this. Your body kind of adjusts, it self-corrects. So what was probably happening was for that week or 10 days, I was riding above home base. Even though I was feeling pretty good, I was doing the things, I was not comfortable. I was not in my ultimate comfort zone. So I was on alert. That's a good way to put it, on alert for those 10 days. I'm always watching Ken's sister. I'm always making sure people have food. I'm making sure the towels are clean. I'm making sure the kids weren't, over crazy. I'm trying to work, all those things. So on alert. And then when all of those threats, using my air quotes, all of those disruptions kind of leveled out, my body was tired of being on alert for that long. So I say all that to say, when you feel the self-correction happen, just notice it for what it is. There's nothing wrong. Nothing had gone wrong. It was kind of like just this self-correct. My body rode high on the energy for a few days and it needed to adjust. It needed to self-correct. It needed to repair so that I could come back to my regular state. It's really interesting to think about it in those terms. Okay, so I'm not going to talk all night. I'm going to coach. I've got two hands raised, which is beautiful. If anybody wants to be coached tonight, if you have anything that you want to talk about, some of these feelings that you're dealing with, what might be behind any emotional eating that you've got going on, now's the time. Raise that hand. We'll get started. Okay. I have Stephanie and then I have Tracy. Oh, and then we have Cindy. So let's get started. Stephanie, you're up first. Let's make sure Stephanie's coming. All right, here she comes. Hello. Oh, unmute. Yeah, perfect. Hi.
Hi, Kathy. I've been a member for probably over 3 years now, and I found everything that I needed to, distract myself from turning to food. I found coping mechanisms that work for me, like taking naps and exercise and, just keeping myself more towards home base. But recently I've had health issues that have thrown me totally for a loop because everything I used to do, I can't do right now because it's affecting my health. Like, I can't exercise the way I used to because sweat aggravates my condition. So I'm trying to find something else. I mean, even yoga makes me sweat. So I'm trying to find something that doesn't make me sweat because that's making it worse. I used to nap a lot because I'm so tired. I can't nap anymore because my body's very inflamed. So I'm having like entire body inflammation issues. So it's inflamed my entire body. And so my body's always in an anxious stress state because it's fighting off something, I don't know what, still trying to figure that out. But I'm having a hard time coming down and being in home base just because my body is in such an aggravated state. So my question to you is, instead of turning to food, because I find myself I'm starting to go back, and I'm not really working on weight loss right now. I'm trying to just take care of myself, and my most important thing is getting through my work day. Thank God I work from home. So I just focus on being able to get through my work day. And but I would like maybe some coping mechanisms that I can do at this time to help until they figure out what's going on with me. And it's going to be a couple months before I can see a doctor that might be able to help me. So I'm kind
Okay. So, Stephanie, I always start with the five core pillars, right? So let's kind of look at those five and see how they can be adapted to you.
of.
Okay. So if we look at water, how is your water?
Not as good as it should be. That is for. I drink a lot of hot tea, but
Is it decaffeinated tea?
it has very low, it's green tea, so it has low caffeine but very low, but still I don't know if that counts. But my throat is very sore, so it's like that's the only thing that feels good, that and popsicles, because my throat's even inflamed and I developed asthma.
So you can check the level of the caffeine in your green tea,
It's
but
very low, as low.
you can drink black tea that's decaffeinated for sure. Like, so anyway, there are hot beverages you can drink for sure. And the popsicles, you can probably get sugar-free popsicles and count them as water as well.
I didn't know.
So hydration is important. Okay. Hydration is very important. That's number one. Sleep is important. Are you sleeping okay?
No.
All right. But is that a body issue too, or is that something else?
I used to nap every day on my lunch. I slept between 7 to 9 hours, and now it's so hard for me to fall asleep because I developed head to toe eczema as well, something else that came out in me. And so I'm very itchy and uncomfortable. So I take a medication to help me at night, but it still doesn't. I'm very, itchy and uncomfortable. So sleep been working for me.
So if you can't sleep, I want you to rest. I want you to lay in bed and do your best to release tension in your body.
Okay.
Okay.
But that's when
So
my anxiety goes up, is when I'm trying to relax and lay down. And then I feel like I have to get up and move around because it's so uncomfortable laying still.
Does the so why does the anxiety go up?
Because it's at night, my anxiety level goes up and my itchiness goes up. It's like increases at night.
But why does itchiness create anxiety?
Well, because I'm uncomfortable and can't relax because my whole body's
And
itching.
I bet you're sitting there getting angry about
Yes.
it and upset about it, and that's what's creating the anxiety. Okay.
Yes.
So being itchy is not comfortable. You are exactly right. I'm going to give you that. But you, when you layer on that piece of, I hate this, I can't figure this out, I'll never get any rest, you're not helping.
Yeah.
Okay. So the best you can, as best you can, as you lay in bed or as you sit in your chair or wherever it is you are trying to rest, I want you to release as much tension in your body as you can. And that means lowering your shoulders, relaxing your core, thinking about what muscles are tensed up and working and releasing them. Okay.
Okay.
My teacher used to say, or she still says, stress can't live in a relaxed body. I don't know that I'm like 100% in tune with that because it seems very black and white front to me, but I know I feel less stress if I can relax my body. Okay. So whatever it takes, however you're able to release the tension, the muscles that are working, okay, could probably help that. And watch how you talk to yourself about rest, right? Because the anxiety, you're right, the anxiety is keeping you up. It's just ramping you up. So that's number two, sleep. You said movement is hard for you.
If it, I can't do anything that is makes me sweat because the sweat irritates the eczema, and I
Okay.
can't take hot showers or anything like that, and
Okay.
that helps
Yeah, cold shower probably feels better than a hot shower
with.
or
No,
just
it
toweling
doesn't
off.
feel better, but in the long run, I
Yeah.
can't. I don't like cold showers, so it's like I take very quick showers, and that
Yeah.
used to be one of my relaxation techniques. So,
Yeah. What about stretching? Do you ever s just stretch?
yeah,
Stretch?
I can stretch. That I can do.
There's a yoga called yoga nidra that you can try. Do you know what nidra means?
No.
Sleep. Google
Oh, really?
it. Yoga nidra. It is a very, very relaxing, slow kind of yoga that's all on the floor.
Okay.
Okay. And that might actually help you rest a little bit.
Yeah, I'll look into that because it shouldn't make me sweat then, because some of the yoga does make me sweat.
No, Nidra, yoga nidra.
Okay.
Okay. You might not be able to go run marathons right now,
No.
but you can move your body in gentle ways and in ways that will help it feel better. Okay.
Okay.
Sunshine. Can you step out in the sunshine? Where do you live?
We live in Southern California.
Oh, you
Well,
have
yeah,
lots
it's
of
not,
opportunities for sunshine.
yeah, there is not right now, but there usually is. And I do go in my backyard on breaks and sit on my porch swing and just soak in the sun. And I do enjoy doing that.
Yeah. So that would be something that you could think about doing. And then the last one obviously is connection. You know, talking to your people, connecting with nature, enjoying the outside, higher power if that's your thing. Do you have a pet?
One just passed away, actually. But I have cats, but they're not the same as my dog was.
Cats are not, I mean, cats are lovable on their terms, right?
Yes, exactly. But dog was my other half, and it all happened at the same time. So, I'm going through the grief of losing my dog last month and this going on, and it's just a lot, and I'm so tired all the time, and I have a hard time focusing, my brain fog, and I'm just not knowing when this is going to end. That's another thing that's wrapping up my anxiety because I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm still trying to figure it out.
And I would say that's probably coming up at night when things are quiet too, isn't it?
And just missed feeling good. I don't feel good at all. I'm always feeling sick because I'm always inflamed, and I feel really sick and lethargic. And it's really frustrating going to doctor after doctor and nobody knowing exactly what's causing it. So it's just been very hard. And it's gotten all over my face too, and it's very scaly, so I don't even want to go outside and be around people right now.
So tell me what you're doing to figure this out.
I made tons of doctor's appointments. It's just having to wait because everyone's booked up. I've done a lot of research online. I've seen several different kinds of doctors, and I'm even looking into holistic options.
Okay.
And I mean, I'm doing everything. And
So
so
you are advocating. That's, I wanted
I
to make
am,
sure you were advocating.
but then I worry that I'm not doing enough. What else can, I'm always trying, what can I
Okay.
do? What else can I do?
So I want you to keep advocating, but the worry is going to create the anxiety.
Yes.
Okay. And the worry is like, it's like a cyclical ball that gets you nowhere, right? Because we're worried about something we can't in the future. I'm worried I'm not doing enough. I'm worried, that this will happen. I'm worried that that'll happen. It's an open loop. Okay. So worry is, if worry is in your feelings, and worry and anxious, worry is it, part of your feelings, there's a lot of inaction going on because worry feels productive. Okay. So I want you to really think about that. When you find yourself worrying, I want you to ask yourself, what do I need to do next? Do I need to, get on a wait list somewhere? Do I need to call another doctor? What kind of research can I make? Can I do something that soothes me right now, like having a popsicle or a cold towel on my face, or
I do cold compresses that help.
So that's the kind of thing that pulls you away from worry and into action is what can you do to self to feel better right now? The other thing that comes to mind, the other thing on the core pillars is nutrition. Is it possible that any of this is food related or exacerbated by food?
Maybe, but I've changed my whole diet. I'm doing an anti-inflammatory diet. I cut out
Okay.
dairy, I cut out gluten. So I've made those changes already, but
Okay.
I've been to an allergist and I didn't test positive for any kind of food.
Well, sometimes and the reason I say this is because I had have arthritis, osteoarthritis, very common. It's the arthritis that 98% of the world gets, right? It's not caused by gluten, but gluten flares it. Gluten gives me more pain. Okay. So whether or not your condition has been caused by food is one thing. Whether or not it's exacerbated by what you eat is something else. So you might think about that as well, as far as, how can I just lean into more, beautiful whole foods from the produce section? Those colorful, amazing things that maybe that helps. I don't know. But nutrition is one of the pillars because our bodies need good nutrition. If we're living on cheese and crackers, our bodies aren't going to be happy. If we're living on, ice cream and Pop Tarts, body's not so happy. We want to make our bodies happy with what we put in them. Now, that's where I would start. The other thing that I always offer people that need something to soothe with is something creative. Do you have a creative outlet? Like, do you play the piano? Do you knit? Do you do anything that are you a creative type of person?
No, I am not creative. I do puzzles on my phone. That's about as creative as I get.
Okay. So
I'm
we are a lot alike. I'm very analytical. All my taste is in my mouth. Creative is not my thing.
No.
But do you see this little flower arrangement right here behind me? It's Legos.
Oh,
I have discovered Legos, y'all. And when I sit down, when we had the ice storm I was talking about at the beginning of the call, I totally focused in and all my anxiety went away when I started putting together my Lego kit. And it's like building blocks, right? You know what Legos are. But it was crazy to tune into, just bizarre to tune into something that took me off my phone, had me not worrying about, if we were going to eat past Wednesday, what we were going to eat past Wednesday, whether or not the heat was going to come back on. I just sat there and built my Legos. Totally brought me back down. So anything creative, jigsaw puzzle. crossword puzzles, anything like that works that creative part of your brain.
Okay.
Giving your brain something else to focus on helps. Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Okay. Now, when you are combining physical discomfort with worry, it's going to feel really overwhelming.
Yes.
So, trying to pull yourself out of worry into how am I managing to take care of myself today is probably going to be the best gift you can give yourself.
Yeah. Okay.
I sure hope you figure something out soon.
Why?
I really do. I feel for you. It's obvious how uncomfortable you are, based on what you've told us.
Even my hair is falling out. I mean, it's just like my body is just, don't know. Something, I thought it was maybe mold in the house. I did a mold test. It's not mold. So I just don't know. So I'm just keep trying and figuring it out.
Well, I applaud you, admire you for going to bat and starting to test things, starting to see what you can figure out.
I can't do nothing. I'm the kind of person that, I will keep going, but I'll drive myself crazy at the same time.
So why does keeping going and working down this list of could it be this, could it be this, why is that driving you? Is that driving you crazy or is it something
Kind
else?
of family crazy, I think, more than me. I'm driving my husband crazy because I think everything in my house is poisoning me now, and it starts to get a little neurotic.
That's the anxiety talking, though.
Anxiety, and I feel like there's something poisoning me in my house, and I can't figure out what it is. So, I mean,
And it
that's
might not be, right? It might not be something poisoning you in your house.
it's something. I don't know.
Well,
It could be house, but it couldn't, I'm looking into other alternatives, like, something in my gut that, that I'm going to get a whole bunch of tests done to see if there's problems in my gut too, because a lot of this stuff is connected to the gut. And so I'm going down all avenues. I dermatologists, allergists, I'm seeing an immune, what do you call them, for an immune disorder. I'm going to a, oh, it's called a, I can't even remember, rheumatologist. That's right.
Rheumatologist. Good. So
It's all I can think of.
there's so all right, there's two avenues I see here. There's one doing that from a place of anxiety, right? And that's probably the avenue you're going down. And there's one that's information seeking that feels very grounded,
Yes.
step by step. I want to ground myself in all the information I can find, and I'm going to keep looking until I find it. And if you say that in a calm, grounded information gathering way, rather than a, I don't know what it is, I don't know what to try next kind of way, you're going to affect how your nervous system reacts. Okay.
Okay.
Do you see the difference?
Yeah. And it's just like I go down the rabbit hole online too, and I get myself all worked up, and I got seen that too, and
For sure. It's a difference, Stephanie, between being curious and informed and being pressured and feeling pressured and urgent. Okay. So the more you can keep yourself in the curious and informed place, the better you'll be able to manage the anxiety that comes up because you'll be able to pull yourself back in. Okay, wait, I'm getting myself anxious. Let's take a few breaths. Can you take I mean, you said you're developing asthma. Can you do some breathing? Yeah. Longer exhales than inhales will help blow some of that anxiety out. Breathing is also, it's sort of like exercise and movement too. So that's something that you can do for yourself.
Okay.
When you feel yourself getting anxious, your breath gets choppy. Lengthen the breath and it's going to settle you down. Okay.
Okay.
So tell me, let's kind of wrap all this up in a bow for you, because I feel like we've been here and we've been here and we've been over here, right?
Feel like I've been all over the place.
Tell me what you have gleaned from our conversation that you can take forward with you.
Keeping myself, my feet planted on the ground, number one. focusing on what I can do in the moment to relax my body. Doing breathing. I can do short meditations. I can do the stretching. I'm gonna look into the yoga
Yoga Nidra.
and just kind of just try to keep myself calm because I know it is making it worse. All this anxiety is making my condition worse. It's off each other. So
Well, when you raise the energy in your body, you're raising your circulation, you're raising, your digestive enzymes, you're re raising all of those things. So the more you can pull yourself into the present and you can manage the anxiety piece of it, then the easier it's going to be for you to think and to process the information that you're giving yourself as you study.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Kathy.
Wish you all the best and all the
Thank
love. I hope answers come to you quickly. Okay. All right. Take care. Tracy, you're next. Need camera and unmute if you can get those done. Looking at the chat. While Tracy comes online here, let's see. Are you coming, Tracy? Okay, Tracy, I'm going to take this one back down to attendee because I see you in another place over here. Let's see if we can figure this out. Right, Tracy, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you back down to attendee. I want you to get into your Zoom settings and make sure you allow camera and microphone. Okay. Allow camera and microphone. Because I bet, oh, wait, here you come. Look at you. You got it.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm glad you figured it out.
You'd never know I used to work in IT, would you?
Well, IT changes very quickly. Very quickly. All right. Tell everybody why you're here.
Well, I'm stuck. I'm just stuck in a dark place. And every time I feel like I move a little bit forward, something happens and I go back. And I had breast cancer in 2011 and got, I went years without anything and they released me from going to see oncology. I was free and clear. And then in 2023, I had some swelling and went in, and I've got metastatic breast cancer. It came back, and it came back as a different kind, a more aggressive kind than I had the first time. So it's not hormonal now, it's a different kind. I went through chemo. I did every, I've been, I go every 3 weeks and I get these shots. And every 3 months, I get an infusion for a bone strengthener because it's in my bones. I feel like, I trying to deal with the fear of that because I've been in breast cancer groups for a long time. I know people who have good friends with people. I know what happens. I worked in a hospital. I know more than I wish I did. Lately, I lost my sister-in-law in October, who I was close to. And then my son, my adult son, had to move back home, and my husband doesn't get along with him. So things are really tense, and he's given him a March 1st deadline to be out, and I don't think it's even, I don't think he can. So he'll be in his car, and we have an open room, so I that upsets me. And then I lost my dad January 2nd. And I was real close with him.
You said dad?
My dad.
Dad? Okay. You want to make sure I heard you properly.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, that's all right.
So that's been really, that just, I felt, I feel like I'm just kind of going along and going along, but that really hit me. And I feel like that's just taken the wind out of my sails. And I feel frozen. I just feel frozen. I can't think about him without crying. I miss him so much. And I know that people, like, I've been with No BS long enough that I know my brain is like, well, that's normal. It's okay. Feel, but I,
So I don't want to diminish. To me, that sounds like you're diminishing what you're feeling. That's normal. It's okay. Just feel it. No, let's not diminish it. Let's honor it. Okay. I think it's important for us to honor what we feel, whether it's fear or grief or worry or concern or love. I think it's important for us to honor those things because if we diminish them, it's almost like we're restricting ourselves from feeling them. We're kind of pushing them to the side. We're not being our true to what we authentically need to feel. Okay. So on this call, there's no
okay.
right or wrong. You get to feel anything you want to feel as long and as hard as you want to feel it. Okay. And I think just
Okay.
hearing, hopefully, just hearing that, not just you, Tracy, but anybody on this call, brings you a little bit of relief. Brings you a little bit of, oh, okay. I'm allowed to feel this. It's okay for me to feel this. Of course, I feel this. Okay. Does that help?
I think it's hard. Well, it just hits me all time, different times a day. And my dad answered twice, and so he understood a lot more than anybody in my family or anybody else, because he, he'd been through the chemo, and he ended up in the hospital from it, just like I did. And he, he knew the fear. He knew his anxiety. He knew, like, he was my person. He was my cheerleader. He was my person who's always there, And so things come up, and I can't call him now. And I'm sorry.
Okay. You can't call him, but you can still talk to him. Do you ever talk to him?
Pardon?
Do you ever
Pardon
talk
me?
to him? Do you ever talk to him anyway?
I have a couple times. I mean, a couple times I've just said, "Dad, I miss you so much," and I'll say something out loud. And
That's the grief talking. What if you were to go, Dad, you're not going to believe the day I had, and just like you'd call him up. What happens if you do that?
I've never tried that. I don't know.
So it's, like I talked about with Stephanie, one of the important things that are so important to us in our lives is connection. And when we lose someone, we feel like that connection, that physical connection is severed, right? But there's still an emotional connection that you can continue to have. Okay. My dad's been gone for 10 years, but I still keep that emotional connection to him, important to me. I have a picture of us right over there. I see a cardinal fly by and I say, hi, Dad, right? Do y'all know the cardinal thing? Here in the South, we believe a bright red cardinal is someone that's come back to check on us, to visit with us. I think about him especially at certain times of the year when he and I used to spend time together. I tell him, look, I'm gonna start crying too, okay? I tell him, you'd be so proud of Jason because he's done this and he's, you know. So I maintain that connection with him because it's important to me. Okay. So I want to offer that to you, even though your grief is very new. I want to offer to you that you can maintain an emotional connection if you choose to do that, if you think that is helpful to you. Okay.
Okay.
All
Yep.
right. Now, y'all have heard me say this a million times. Grief is messy. Look, 10 years and I'm crying with you, girl. Okay. It's not going to be, it's not going to feel the same every day. It's going to be triggered by certain things. You're going to go 3 days and you're going to be, oh my gosh, I haven't thought about my dad today. And all of that's okay. It's going to be a messy process.
Yeah.
But maintaining, I really believe maintaining some sort of emotional connection is how I get through some of the times that I'm grieving the most. So I just want to offer that to you. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And it sounds like, I mean, you're kind of settling down a little bit. Does that sit well with you?
Yeah, that does. Yeah, that does. The other thing, though, is just the anxiety that I have every day from the cancer.
Yeah.
That's getting, I don't know, I find myself isolating. I find myself not wanting to, like, I get panic attacks in my car if I'm on a busy street and I feel trapped. Like,
Has
I don't,
is
it's,
that worse than it has been? Or is the anxiety level about the cancer, is that, has that changed?
yeah, it's getting high.
Why
Yeah.
do you think it's, why do you think it's getting higher?
I think maybe because the shots I get everything, I think I'm starting to feel some side effects from the shots that I get every 3 weeks, and every 6 weeks I see a doctor at the clinic, and when I see them I don't always see the same one, and some of them have great bedside manners and some of them are just very
Yeah. That's the human world, right?
but you know when I you know when I had the one that was saying, well, you know, I don't know, some of them throw numbers of years out to me. And I'm thinking, well, if I only have 5 years, I've already used two of them.
So
And I
this,
have kids and I have stuff I wanted, you know.
So this is your brain closing a loop in not so great a way, right? So anxiety comes when we are, anxiety lives in the future. Okay, it's when we're trying to figure out what tomorrow is going to be, or what a year from now is going to be, or what 3 years from now is going to be. And I'm not so sure that leaning into a prognosis like that is very helpful for you. It's not very helpful for any of us. Let's just be
No,
honest.
it's
Okay.
not. Think about it.
So when they say that, how would you like to respond to them?
Well, the first doctor that told me 2 years ago gave me, like, told me 5 years. I said to him, I've known women who lived 20 years. You that have lived 20 years. So why couldn't I be one of those? That's what I said to him. And then I cried the whole rest of the I don't really know what to say. I mean, I don't know what to say. My husband says it's gone, you know, it's gone. There's no sign of it, but I know it's just a matter of time before they do a scan, and that's just the nature.
Why don't you just say thank you for your input?
leave it simple like that.
Thank you for your input.
I'm so sorry. I've been fighting a cold, so when I cry, my
Okay. Oh, so you get the extra snot, huh?
not good.
Here's so are you no evidence of disease right now? Are you NED?
Yes, they did scans. They moved me to every 6 months now for scans. It was every
Okay.
three. It's every six. I had them in January, and there's still no
Okay.
evidence on those. So I had it in my one of my discs in my spine, and I had it like a, I don't remember how big, but a mass on my chest wall here. This is that my right breast was the one that had the masses the first time. But they did the chemo, and after five treatments of the chemo, they did a scan and they couldn't see any evidence of it in either place.
All right.
So it's
And
fine.
you are actively doing some sort of maintenance treatment, correct?
I go injection every 3 weeks. Yeah. And then strengthener
So why aren't you
months.
telling yourself that story more often? Why do you lean into the story? It's only a matter of time, Kathy. It's only a matter of time. Why do you lean into that story rather than today? I have no evidence of disease.
I don't know.
That's what I
I
want you
don't
to.
know.
Yeah, that's
I
what.
don't get
Because
up
you
in the
can.
morning. Oh, I'm gonna have, and I thank God right away for a good morning, and thank you for another day, and it's just, when you go there every 3 weeks, you're constantly reminded. You don't get a mammograms to not think about it. It's just always, I tell myself, some days I'm telling myself, hey, you're lucky you have somebody watching you as close as you do. You're getting labs next week. They do scans every 6 months,
Does that feel believable? Girl, you're so lucky somebody's keeping an eye on whether or not your cancer comes back. Does that feel good? Or does it feel better to say, I'm doing everything I can to make sure I'm preserving the health I have today?
Well, that's where I need to get. I need to actually
Do you
do
believe that? Do you believe that?
thing.
Do you believe that you're doing what you need to do to preserve today's health?
No,
Why?
I don't.
What are you doing that's not preserving today's health?
I'm not moving. I'm not doing healthy things. I'm sitting.
Okay,
I'm
let's talk about what
sitting.
you are doing. You're going to the doctor.
Yeah.
You're getting your treatments. You're
Yeah.
doing you're getting your bone strengthening medication. You hadn't been skipping out on your doctor's appointments. You're doing those,
Yeah.
right? So that's your building blocks. That's where you start.
Okay.
Those are the things, those are probably those are very important things. You can layer in other things as you feel comfortable doing them, right?
Yeah, I guess. I just don't know. I'm
But you're living in, so this is typical scarcity of abundance. Scarcity and abundance. You're living in scarcity. Because you're thinking about all the things you can't do, all the things you won't do, all the things that could happen, rather than living in an abundant way, which is, this is what I am doing. This is how I am taking care of myself. This is what I can build on. It's all how you talk to yourself, and it's all perspective when it comes to that. None of us, and I know this, none of it, me, nobody on this call is guaranteed tomorrow. But that's
right, yeah.
why we have to center ourselves in the present. I'm not guaranteed that the next time I go to get a mammogram, that they're not going to find it again, that my blood work's not going to turn something up.
But that doesn't feel good either.
That doesn't what?
That doesn't feel good to say that. You know what I mean?
No, it doesn't feel good to say that, so I don't say it.
Oh.
Okay? I just say, you know what? I'm doing the very best I can today. And tomorrow, if they find more breast cancer or something else, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to work on it. I just am. I just know me. Now, am I going to have days where I'm going to feel defeated and disappointed and upset and fatalistic? Probably. But I also know myself well enough to know that I'm gonna do what I can to manage what I've got. And here's the other thing, Tracy, I trust my care team. Do you trust your care team?
I do.
Yeah.
And they have that when this medication, the last time I saw the doctor, they said, well, when this one stops working or it comes back, excuse me, they just approved another one that works even better. Oh, I mean, that's hopeful, but at the same time, nobody wants to hear that it's going to stop working. You know, I mean, it's like my brain goes for those negative grabs on, and then I tell myself, yeah, but they got something even better.
Your
They've
brain
got
goes
a plan.
for the negative because that's what it's wired to do. There's nothing wrong with you. That's the threat response. That's us looking for the threat so we can solve the problem. That's what our nervous systems do. The fact that you follow it back up with, yeah, but they got something new, is
But they
exactly
got.
what you is exactly what you need to be doing. Okay. So your brain is always going to go out there and go, yeah, but, and it's up to you to come back around and go, oh, yeah, but there's another side too. Okay. I am constantly amazed at the advances in cancer treatment. I have a private client right now who was diagnosed in 2014, I think, with metastatic uterine cancer. What is this is 2026. And the her ability to go, hey, guess what, Kathy? They found a new treatment. It's this and this, and I'm going to get it on Friday. I've done my research. I'm going after this. It's just her perspective is so just, I don't know, forward thinking. And not in the way that's fatalistic. It's in like, okay, these are some things I need to look into in order to preserve the health that I have now.
And you know, the first time I went through it, that's how I was. I was just like, I got this. Like, I was, you know, I wasn't retired. I didn't have all day to sit home and think about and obsess like I do now because I was busy working and I loved, you know, I was, but I really had a whole different attitude. I really did. And then this just, I guess it just blew me out of the water because they told me they did discharge me from the clinic, you know, I mean, so it blew me away and I'm having a hard time getting to be that person again. You know, I don't.
Yet you have right now, today, no evidence of disease.
I know.
Right?
Right. That's what I should be telling myself.
Today, right today, this is what I know. I have no
Today.
evidence of disease.
Yeah.
What I think what's happened a lot is that you've had a lot pile on at one time. You've
Yeah.
had two significant losses.
Yeah.
Your brain is still managing, how it needs to take care of your health. And so
Yeah.
you're worried about your son too.
Yeah.
Okay. So between now and when we talk again, I want you to think about, is there anything here I can put to bed for now? For now, is there anything here I can relieve my brain from having to think about for now? Okay. I think it's important, for us to be able to, because what happens is, like I told you about, our neuroception is that part of us that scans for threats everywhere, and when we see them, we like latch on because we have to fix them. Latch on, latch on, latch on. We're always scanning for threats. And if we don't separate a real threat to our physical safety from what feels threatening, what doesn't feel safe, what is probably manageable, then everything becomes a real threat to our physical safety. And I think that's what's happened here, is that
Okay.
your brain has kind of come back around to everything is a problem.
Everything is. I'm scared. I'm just scared. all day long.
Yeah.
I'm
Yeah.
scared, sad, every all day. That's not who I used to be.
So.
So I'm trying to figure out how do I stop eating crap that I know is not helping me towards my healthy goal? How do I make myself get up out of my chair and go for a walk? Or, I'm just so frozen. I'm just stuck. So first thing I need to do then is just try to figure out what I can let my brain can let go.
Yeah. Is there anything just,
Oh,
and I want you to think about just for today, is
just
there
for today.
anything I can take off my emotional plate?
Okay.
Okay.
Just for today.
Just for today, right?
Okay.
And then ask yourself that tomorrow. Just for today, what can I take off my emotional plate?
Okay. Because my son's here today and he's safe, so I don't have to worry about him right now. He's going.
Yes. See, I like the way you're starting to think about this.
My scans were good 2 weeks ago. I doubt they've changed yet.
Yet, I doubt they've changed. Get that yet word out of your vocabulary, girl. Okay. And that gives you space to grieve your sister-in-law and your dad. And
Yeah.
to think about how do I want to create this connection with them?
I can just talk to him. Like that I can just talk to him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, thank
Yeah.
you. Thank
You're
you so
welcome. All
much.
right. I'll see you soon.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay. Cindy, you're next. Hello.
Hi, thank you so much.
Thank you for waiting.
I think being near the end is probably hard just because I'll build up these emotions and thoughts of what I wanted to talk about. But I have to say the things that you coached Tracy on definitely will be helpful for me too, because I think what I need help with is just processing grief and feeling safe. I lost 65 pounds with no BS between 2020 and 2022, stayed in maintenance, and then between July of 2024 and August of 2025, we had eight different life changes and traumas that I dealt with food. So I'm up 30 and thought I was kind of getting my feet back under me again. And I just don't think I've dealt with those traumas and life changes, and I don't know what to do with that.
Okay. Let's how do we how do we want to process this? You said grief, right? Is that the predominant emotion?
It's hard to say. I keep trying to group everything in grief. But a lot of what we went through was very traumatic, and at the time just kind of moved through it and did what we had to, but yeah.
Okay. So grief, I like to think of grief as us having to adapt to an unanticipated change, a change that we are not in favor of. Okay. We can grieve jobs, we can grieve people, we can grieve family members, pets, our, health. Grief is grief is kind of like an umbrella that can be applied to a lot of different areas in our lives. So is that kind of what we're talking about here? When you talk about
Think
the eight
so.
traumas, were they all events or changes that you didn't want, didn't weren't anticipating? Okay. When we talk about trauma, I'm always very, very careful and very cautious because I do not want to trigger the trauma response in you. So what I'm going to ask you is, how about for one example that we can work on that feels safe for you to talk about?
I feel like I need to offer a trigger warning before it's big, but it's been long enough that I feel like it's probably the biggest. But my daughter attempted suicide and was in the ICU for about 3 days. And I definitely haven't like worked through that.
I actually, in private coaching, I worked with a lady for 3 months on this very issue. Okay. And it was, so I'm familiar. I feel like I'm somewhat familiar with that kind of story. How does the trauma trigger for you now? Well, let me ask you this. How old is your daughter now?
24.
24. How old was she when she attempted suicide?
23. So
23. So it's
still
fairly
fresh.
new. It's fairly new. Is she safe now?
I hope. I think so.
I
It's
hope
hard.
so. Tell me what that means.
She's got good mental health support. She's in therapy. She has a psychiatrist that's helping with medications. She doesn't live with us, so I don't get to see her every day. I do check in regularly. But I don't know that you ever, like, if I don't hear back from her, I don't obsess.
That's the
But
trauma.
there's a worry,
If I don't hear back from her.
So
let's just be real honest here. If you shoot a text and she doesn't respond, what do you do?
I
Not what do you
do.
think?
Yeah. Because she doesn't respond quickly, I don't think much about it for at least a couple of hours. And so I do have that piece that she's probably fine. But if it's a couple of hours and I still haven't heard from her, then I'll text again.
If you don't hear, aren't you going to go looking for her? Aren't you going to create certainty for yourself? The more you create that certainty, the more you hear back from her, the more the trauma response deconditions. Okay, the more the concern deconditions over time. This is some. Have you seen a therapist about this from your perspective?
Not yet. So I definitely need to.
Well, I mean, I'm not telling you need to,
No, I
but
do. I'm a big therapy person. I love
Yeah, the
it.
difference between coaching and therapy is therapy actually heals trauma. Coaching helps you decondition the triggers. Okay, so coaching works a lot in the present, and the actual healing of the trauma is kind of a going back in the past kind of thing that a therapist can do with you. So when you talk about gosh, we could wrap grief into this too. You grieve the relationship that you had with your daughter, the thoughts, the safety that you had when you thought about her. All of that, I mean, to me would be something that you could really do some good work on, is kind of repairing that relationship you have in your mind with your daughter and her safety, right? So, how do you now, when you think about when you're in today and that memory comes up, how do you create safety around it?
I try to remind myself that it's in the past. I try to remind myself that she's safe for as much as I know right now. I don't feel like I've developed a lot of good grounding tools to help stop the worry. You know, like there are times when I feel like I do better than others. But often I definitely turn to food, and I mean, that's a big reason of why we're here.
Yeah. So one of the things, do you ever put your hand on your heart, press in? Yeah. I want you to come up with about four or five very, very simple things you can tell yourself as your hand on your heart when you start to get worried. Tell me her name.
Brin.
Bryn.
Brinley.
Spell it for me.
Sorry, Brin.
Bryn. Okay. Bryn is safe. Right? I am safe. You know, what else can you say? Bryn's in therapy. They're monitoring medication. I talked to her yesterday. You know, whatever it is that you can say that actually helps you feel better, I want you to start practicing those simple phrases to create safety for yourself, to create that feeling of safety for you. Okay, as you think about her. And then obviously if you can see a therapist to help you with the trauma, that would be amazing. The best I can do for you is help you with the triggers. And I will say, I have not told everybody this yet, so you're the first to know. Do you know what tapping is? Have you ever heard of tapping?
I have, and I actually, one thing I discovered before I even knew about tapping, I would just tap my chest, and I don't know if that's a specific spot, but when I, would get overly worked up
That's a
about
tapping
other
point
things.
right here in
Okay.
the tapping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I and I do that kind of like you would with a baby, how you pat their bottom and rock back and forth.
That's beautiful that you do that for yourself. That's also very regulating. So for those of you who don't know, tapping is the fancy word is emotional freedom techniques, right? And I'm going through class right now to become certified a practitioner in tapping so that I can bring all that to you all. So I love that you do this. I want you to also think about, do you know the other points? Do you know the other tapping points? So it starts on the top of the head, then it goes to the eyebrows, then it goes to the side of the eye, then under the eye, between your nose and your lip, under your chin, right here on your chest, like you were doing, and under your arm. These are acupressure points. Okay, so it's very science related. And just tapping through the points for a few minutes can help bring your anxiety level down. And you can Google free Googles on where the tapping points are. You don't even have to say anything. Just breathing and hitting these tapping points will help you regulate your nervous system. Okay, I should have told Stephanie that. I hope Stephanie's still on the phone, on the call. Sue says tapping has helped her so much. I've had a tapping coach myself for about 3 years now, and I cannot even tell you the amount of anxiety it has helped me with. So that's a really, really good regulating tool that you can try before getting your snack. You can kind of insert that in your pause plus permission before eating.
Exactly what I was going to ask is I feel like often I don't know what's driving it, but I think that you just totally touched on exactly what I needed. It's that pause and taking a moment to, I mean,
Yes.
I may not even know exactly what it is
Uh-huh.
that's driving it, but that will definitely help.
Well, you know, I was talking about neuroception earlier in the call. Our body's always scanning for threats. Very, very often, our bodies will pick up a threat cue before our brains will. And our bodies send that signal
That's
back
cool.
up to our brains. So if before you even have a thought, you could feel anxiety or stress or worry or concern. So when you feel it in your body, have you ever done that? Man, I'm anxious and I don't know why, right? Me, right? When you feel it in your body, say, okay, there's anxiety. How do I want to manage this? Do I want to go for a quick walk? Do I want to breathe? Do I want to tap through these points and see if I can bring it down to a level where I can examine it? It's not gonna, I don't want y'all to think you're gonna fix anxiety this way, but if you can bring it down, bring the energy level down enough so that you can really think about it and process through it, then you're gonna do yourself some favors that way.
Perfect. And
Okay.
I agree. I definitely do need to get back into therapy. So thank you.
Yeah, I look, I'm always a proponent for anything we can do to feel better. Okay.
Absolutely.
Anything
Yeah.
we can do to feel better. Now,
Absolutely.
do you have what you need? Or do you need more? Do I need to keep going?
I think that is it. I think processing old emotions. I think you said, a lot of that's going to happen in therapy. That was just one of the only other things, and figuring out, what it is that I'm eating over hasn't been the easiest. And I do know that it's, could be related. But yeah.
If you're eating in response, you're probably eating in response to the energy level in your body. Okay? And the energy level is created by the anxiety or the concern or the worry or the grief or whatever is going on from these events that you've experienced, or these, events or emotions that you've experienced. And the eating is the self-soothing mechanism that comes in behind it. Okay? To help your body regulate, to get the energy back level back to where your body feels comfortable again, doesn't feel like it's in threat. Okay. So if you can interrupt the pattern between the trigger and the emotion and the eating and try to settle in a different way, you might be able to help yourself that way.
That's perfect.
Does
That's
that
perfect.
help? Does that help really?
Absolutely. Yeah. I did want to say one quick thing to Tracy. I work for a nonprofit for blood cancer patients, and we're constantly learning about new therapies and things. Anybody dealing with cancer, there are so many amazing treatments coming up. So if that can help,
Love that.
with your own anxiety, like even what's approved today is going to be obsolete 5 years from now. So just
It's
know there's a lot.
yeah, the our ability to heal ourselves continues to just grow and grow, and I'm just amazed and so grateful for the brains in the world who are taking care of me and of everyone.
Agreed. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you so
All
much, Kathy. I
right. If
appreciate
you
you.
need anything, holler, okay? If you need
Okay.
anything, all right.
All
Okay.
right. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, y'all. Oof. Oh, there's some questions. Let's hit the questions real quick. Do we always have emotions? Sometimes when I ask myself what I'm feeling, the only thing that comes up for me is neutral. Is it likely that there is another underlying emotion that I'm not recognizing, or is neutral an emotion, or am I just not feeling an emotion at that point? Karen, that's a really great question. I would ask you what neutral means. Does it mean peace? Does it mean calm? Does it mean safe? You know, it's possible that the absence of intense emotion just has you in more of a neutral place, and that's fine. It's also possible that you are suppressing emotion. So I would need to know more to properly answer that. But if neutral just means, everything is pretty steady, I think you're just fine. Okay? Hope that answers your question. Anonymous says neutral is home base for me. Neutral. I mean, it can't. Yeah, I mean, that's fine as long as I am not on purpose suppressing emotion. Okay, I'm feeling overwhelmed with my husband's cancer diagnosis, with work, rotating shifts, a freshman in college, and I realized last few years, I'm no longer taking time for myself. Felt as if my light has dimmed. I had a good crying session alone and just thanked myself for surviving the last 6 years. With my little one's heart surgery, my COVID pneumonia, other son's surgery, and now husband's cancer diagnosis, I thanked myself for working full time and supporting my family, working on self-care. I don't know who you are, Anonymous, but you sound like Wonder Woman to me. And I want to remind you that you can't pour from an empty cup. You have to care for yourself in some way so that you can care for other people. Sometimes it's 5 minutes of silence, 2 minutes of silence, just to reset, just to come back to yourself. Just to make sure that your needs are taken care of. Just a couple of minutes here and there can really help a reset. I'm sorry that you're going through all of that. But I also love that you thank yourself for being the caregiver, for working full time, for supporting your family, for taking care of of everyone. I would just want to make sure that you are taking care of yourself as well. And especially want to make sure that you're taking care of your nervous system. So I wish I could watch for your name and ask coaches, but I'd love for you to reach out and let me know how you're taking care of you so that I can help you find ways to make sure that you are supporting yourself along with everyone else. Another anonymous says, I try really hard not to restrict my food, but why is it that I can't control myself if I have cookies or chips in the house? Should I just not keep them in the house? Well, that is one option. Okay. I often tell people if that's where you need to start, that's where you need to start, and that's okay. I try not to restrict my food either. But that doesn't mean I have a whole lot of junk in my house. Okay. So I, you know, there's kind of a happy medium to be found there. I would ask yourself, though, why is it you can't control yourself if you have cookies or chips in the house? What gap is that filling for you? What is it about the cookies or chips that calls to you when they're there? Okay, so I think that's where I'd start, and I'd take the answer to that question over to ask coaches so that Betsy or me or one of the other coaches can work with you on that. Okay. You know, what's the unmet need? If there are chips and cookies in the house, why does it make a difference? I think those are some of the questions I'd ask myself. Okay. Kathy, can you share a few tips for taking good care of ourselves? Thanks. If you go to the nervous system resource page on the website, did y'all know there's one? I'm so proud of it. I'm so proud of it. If you go to the nervous system resource page on the website, it's under resources, about halfway down. You can find lots of information on the five core pillars. You can find a resource, a page that you can print out that tells you how to manage yourself when you're above home base, things to do to help bring you down. When you're below home base, things to do to add energy. When you're in freeze mode, freeze is a combination of above and below. You have a lot of energy, but you can't move, right? There's grounding techniques, things to help you settle, things to help you feel better. There's videos on silence, on creating safety in the future. Right? There's all kinds of stuff there for you to have as resources. I even put, did y'all listen to Lizzie's call where she processed an emotion last week? I put that video out there just a few days ago as well, so that you all will have that. If you can't find what you need there, write to me. Tell me what you need. Okay? Tell me what you need to help you manage your nervous system, to process emotion, and I will teach it to you. I got you. Okay? We'll figure out how to get that information to you. All right. Does anybody have anything else tonight? Thank you for being here. Thank you. You know, I just need to say this too. It is such an honor that you bring those things to me and that you allow me to hear you, to work with you, to help you as you're processing some of these things that are so difficult in your lives. So, thank you for giving me that honor and that privilege. Okay. Y'all know where to find me. Ask coaches, Facebook, private coaching, whatever it is, I got you. Okay. Y'all be good. Take care.